Lord, we thank you this moment belongs to you. We are yours. And so this moment, whatever you want to say, however you want to do it, whatever you want to show us, we are open to learn it. So we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Y'all may be seated in here. 2004, I came out with an album called God Can't Fail. And I got those words listening to a service one day. I never heard them together. And I got those words listening to a service one day while I was in listening to Apostle. And he was saying, he was preaching, and he said it real quick. You know what I'm saying? He said, God can't fail in the midst of the message. And then kind of went on, never went back to it. I said, you know, I'm sitting there, I said, God can't fail. I said, I never really heard those. I heard love never fail. And I heard, you know, God don't change. But I never heard those put together. And so I just held on for a minute. Then eventually it turned into a song, turned into a title of an album, God Can't Fail. And then we ended up doing these wristbands, God Can't Fail. So that's 2004. It's 2021 now. And I just figured out what it really means. I just figured out the point or the point for these bands and the point for just the whole God giving the whole phrase like he has. I just started figuring out that God can't fail is about you. God can't fail is about you, and God can't fail is about me. But let me take you on a trail, then we'll talk more about that. Let me prove that God can't fail. 1 John chapter 4, verse 8, and I'm not an advocate of skipping around and picking a bunch of scriptures in the Bible, but for the sake of context, we'll do so tonight. These chapters, you can read them on your own. But we got to identify a few things real quick. And we got to say 1 John chapter 4, verse 8. And you can read through this. It's a wonderful chapter, 1 John chapter 4. I'm just trying to get to one point in here. Verse 8, it said, he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. So right now, love becomes an identity. Love becomes a person. God says God is love. Love is God, and God is love. Go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 13 real quick. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 8. And you know these things, but I'm just putting it together so you understand. Verse 8 right there again, and his first three words, charity or love. Charity means love there. Love never fails. If God is love and love never fails, then God never fails. God can't fail. Everybody say it. God can't fail. All right, so now we know that God can't fail. Let's put some more together. Isaiah 55 and 11. Go over there quick. We're going to get a turn there. We're going to get into some things real quick. I'm just establishing this for lesson's sake. Isaiah 55 and 11, it says, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. God is talking. It shall not return to me void, but shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. Will not return void, but accomplished. That's not failing. That means my word are going to go forth. I'm sending it out. And when I send it out, my word goes forth and it will not fail. Everybody say God can't fail. Real quick. Now go over to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. Verse 1, I want to identify some things real quick because there's some things we've left out of the equation. Remember, God can't fail is about you. John chapter 1, and we'll come back to John in a minute for another portion of this lineup. But John chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So God and his word are synonymous. You cannot separate God from his word. You cannot say the word of God and not talk about the identity of God. God and his word are one. If my word shall go forth and not return void, that means God cannot return void. God can't fail. Say it again. God can't fail. I know we're talking about words. Words. So if the word, his word can't fail and he is the word, go to Genesis chapter 1. Because there's a piece we leave out. For our whole Christian lives, we've just been, you know, identifying God, and God is great, and God is mighty, and God is wonderful, and God can do all these things, and God can do this, and God can do that, and God can do this. And we've been saying it for all of our Christian lives, all the stuff that God can do, and all the stuff that he can accomplish, and all the stuff we're praying for him to accomplish and to come through in our lives. But I still don't understand why we sense or why we experience failure. Make me understand that if God is almighty and he's our God, and we know that God can't fail, everybody say God can't fail. If we know that God can't fail, why is there failure in our lives at times? Must be a disconnect. Then we start to build a failure culture. We start saying fail forward. Learn from your failures. We all fall short. And we begin to acclimate ourselves to the thermostat is set to when you set it at a temperature, everything in the room goes to that temperature. Whatever temperature you set it at, like it's cold, I'm here right now. Every temperature that you set it at, the whole atmosphere rises to that. And we've given ourselves a thermostat in our mind and accepted a failure call. Sometimes you're gonna fail. Sometimes you're gonna fall. And we've acclimated ourselves to a failure culture to the point to where we've let our whole environment and climate become okay with failure. And we say we want to bounce back, or we say we want to learn from our... No. We're not learning from anything right now. God can't fail. And if God can't fail, and if God can't fail is about you, that means I can't fail. Say, I can't fail. Come on, say it again. Say, I can't fail. So we've got to make this connection, though, because where is this connection with God can't fail and I can't fail? Where is this connection where if God can do all things, I can do all things? Where is this connection missing? Where am I missing in that? We've defined God. God is almighty. God is all powerful. God is omnipotent. He's everywhere at one time. He's the beginning and the end. He's the Alpha and Omega. We know that there was no beginning. God, everything came from God. We understand this. Where do you fall in the equation? And you don't fall from everything that you're saying about God. We have our songs. We worship God. We lift him on high. We say he's majestic. We're telling him the stuff that he knows about himself. God say, listen, I know already. I knew that already. I knew that before I made you. I know all the stuff you're telling me. I'll tell you, there's only one person in this relationship that we have that don't know. There's only one person. I'm saying one. We can say people, but I'm talking to you individually and me individually. There's only one person in this relationship with me and God that don't know who they are. God can't feel us about you. And I'll prove it to you in a quick second. So now Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. And words are words. When you say something, you're saying what? Words, right? So you speaking. Okay. So God said, he's about to speak some words. You see the words after that? And what's the words that he said? It's God's word, right? Can we say that these are God's words? Genesis 1:26. These are God's words, right? And God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowls of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. He said, my word will not return to me void, but it will accomplish that what I sent it to. God said, let us make man. Before there was a forming in the dust, there was a word that came out of God's mouth that created mankind. Are y'all with me for a second? So now God's word, I'm putting God's word in your flesh real quick. I'm making your flesh and who you are synonymous with God's word. God spoke you into existence. That scripture, Genesis 1:26, is just as powerful as the first one. He said, God said, let there be light. And there was. God said, let us make man in my image and our likeness. The same thing. It will not return to me void. Prove it to you. Go back to John chapter 1. Y'all just go on this trail with me real quick. Real quick, and it shouldn't take me long to get through this. We know verse 1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, right? Jump down to verse 14. We know these by heart, but we don't take these heart, and we don't think that these scriptures are about us. John chapter 1, verse 14. And the Word was made what? Oh, whoa. Come on, touch your hand real quick. Touch your hand and touch your face and all that. Come on. Let's just make sure we know that you're not out here as a fog. You ain't the fog right now. Let's make sure that we talking about the Word was made flesh right here, right? The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory as the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So now this said becomes in the flesh in Jesus. Now, I'll tell you the key where we're missing that is because we're trying to take all these principles and trying to benefit from all these places and sayings and things, and we don't understand what Jesus is telling us about us. We don't spend enough time letting him identify us. There's another scripture. I'll put the word in the flesh. The word is flesh, right? The word is flesh. The word is alive. We know it's talking about Jesus, right? We're not over there saying the word of God is quick and powerful, and sharpening it in a two-edged sword, and dividing asunder, right? That means Jesus, it says, a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. That means Jesus, himself, his identity, his personality, who he is, discerns who we are. Not just the things that come audibly out of the mouth, they are powerful as well. We know they're powerful when Jesus says, I am he, and they fell back. You know, that's some powerful words when they came get him. But not only that, but the word, we've learned the word. This is what I'm trying to say for a quick minute. We've learned God and we've learned the word out here. We put him out here with everything else. Everybody say, think inside. Come on, if you're at home right now, say think inside. Put it in the chat real quick. Say think inside. Come on, think inside. Say believe inside. Come on, say no inside. It's inside. It's inside. Inside. I've got to revert. I've got to flip. In a minute, we're going to use that word revert again. I've got to change the way that I've been doing things. I've got to repent. Repent means to change your mind and to turn. We think people out there in the world cutting up and sitting. No. We need to repent of a lot of things, because our minds need to be changed. Our minds need to be changed so that we can align to who we really are. I'm putting this together so we can align to who we really are. So now the word was made flesh. So now we know God is love. Love can't fail. Then God's word goes and it never fails. And his word and him are one. And then God spoke man, and man was a word first and became a being. And the word became flesh. Are y'all with me? We're still here right here. Watch this. Now this word that became flesh started talking to me about me. This word, the word of God in the flesh, started telling me that I'm the same thing. He started talking to me. I'll prove it to you. Go over to the John chapter 14. The book of John, you just read the book of John over and over again. Before I get to what he tell you, I'm not even going to go over there, but John chapter 5, verse 39, it says, Jesus starts talking, he's in red words, he said, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me, verse 40, but you won't come to me. These words are me. Me and the word are synonymous. He's saying it over and over again. It's the word in the flesh. And the word in the flesh starts telling me stuff like verse 12, John chapter 14, verse 12. Verily I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall you do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Now this is the word. This is the same word of God. The word was with God and the word was God. God is the word. The word is God. And then the word became flesh and dwelt among us. And then that flesh, right there, that walking, living, breathing, talking flesh, we call him Jesus the Christ, has the audacity to tell me if I believe on him, I'm going to do what he do and greater stuff than he doing. God can't fail. It's about you. That's what I'm trying to tell you. It is about you. But if you don't know, it's about you. For years, I tell you, I just figured out, we say, well, you know, he gonna do what he said he gonna do. And he gonna come through when it's time for him to come through. Yeah, he gonna come through you. Yeah, God is gonna come through. Yeah, he's gonna come through. He's gonna come through you. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. The same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells on the inside of me. Low here, low there. No, the kingdom of God is within. Think inside. See, it's about you. It's about you. The works that I do, so you do also. Now, if I didn't see much failure in Jesus, I believe on Jesus. If I didn't see much failure in Jesus, then that means there's no failure in me. I will not settle to fail. I can't settle for failure. Well, I'm going to get up and dust myself. Now, I don't want to dust myself off. I'm tired of dusting myself off now. I want to be to the point to where as God, Jesus, this place said, as he is in this world, so are we. So what Jesus accomplished, this is what I want to accomplish. But if I don't believe that this is about me, if I don't believe that this is identifying who I am, then I can't benefit from the non-failness, from the ability to not be able to fail, like he can't fail. Right? Like if God can fail, right? And if God can't fail and God is on the inside of me, then it means what else? I can't fail. So my moments of failure are when I've forgotten who I am. My moments of failure, of loss, of whatever we want to call it, fear, worry, anxiety, all of these moments are when I have forgotten who is in me and who I am in. Remember now, if God can't fail, then I can't fail. And I line them up. Then Jesus says something else in verse 20. And we sometimes skip over these scriptures royally because these things that Jesus says demands too much of us. It demands more than we're willing to give. And then we begin to, so we call it a mystery, right? And we give ourselves, no more scapegoats. Stop, no more scapegoats. We gotta stop giving ourselves excuses. Excuses are the crutches of the uncommitted. We gotta stop giving ourselves excuses to not be more than what we are. And he starts telling us stuff, and we give ourselves scapegoats. We say, well, you know, no, people, well, how do we get the hundredfold? We wanna receive the hundredfold return. Well, it's simple. Ain't nobody that gave up everything they'll receive a hundredfold. He said the rich young ruler. He told the rich young ruler. He said, nobody gave up houses and lands and mothers and fathers and wives and children and all these things for my sake in the gospel. Who won't receive a hundredfold now in this time on this earth? There's your hundredfold right there. It's simple. It really ain't hidden. You hide. We get to be like Adam and Eve. We hide in the garden, covering ourselves. We're hiding ourselves from the commitment that we need to make to put our lives on the line. Right here, verse 20. Here he goes, said this, watch this. Write down verse 20, make sure. Verse 20. Verse 19, yet in a little while, the world see me no more, but you see me, because I live, ye shall live also. Y'all see that verse 20? And in that day, ye shall know that I am in the Father. Mm-hmm. We cool with that one. And you in me. Uh-oh. And I in you. Now in that phrase, you shall know that I am in the Father, and ye in me, and I in you. Right there, that immediately makes us as one with the Father. Basic algebra. Algebra says this, and we ain't gonna go deep. Basic algebra says if A equals B and B equals C, then A equals C. Y'all with me right quick. I'm gonna do it quickly. If A equals B and B equals C, then A and C are equal as well. And if I'm in the Father, right, and you in me, and I'm in you, then we both in the Father sound like one to me. So can we establish? Stop. I don't want nobody talking no craziness right now, talking about, well, you know this and well, you know. No, let's make it establish. I'm doing like a lawyer right now. Let's make it establish in the court right now that I am one. I acknowledge that I am one with God. Say it. I acknowledge this. I have acknowledged that God has made me one with him. God made me in his image. God made me in his likeness. Yes, I can do nothing without him. Jesus says that again. Without me, you can do nothing. Yes, we have to understand that humility part of it. But I also have to understand that inside the humility makes me understand that I am one with the Father. I am one with Christ. I am one with God. And if I am one with God, say it, I am one with God. Come on, say, I acknowledge. Y'all at home right now, say, I acknowledge that I am one with God. I showed you here in the scripture, so don't. I am one with God. Let's get this established. And if I acknowledge that I am one with God, then if I have the nerve to say God can't fail, then I have to understand that I can't fail. Say it. I cannot fail. Why? Because God cannot fail. Puts me one and one with him. Lines me up with the will of God, and the will of God is who he is. I'm in the Father, and you in me, and I in you. I can go over and over. And John, I'm just skipping right now because in these services and these messages, we only have so much time. But I can go through all John chapter 14 and all through John chapter 15. I can take you over to John chapter 17 right now where he ain't even talking to them no more. And he start praying. He say, Father, I pray. Let me go over there real quick. John chapter 17. This is how you can look at it. Skimming down through it. Verse 11, I may have skipped it. He says a couple of times, I now am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I'll come to thee. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given to me, that they may be one as we are. Y'all Bible read the same way, huh? Is y'all Bible reading the same way? That they may be one as we are. That's another one. Let me see. Verse 20. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also that shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou the Father art in me and I in thee, and they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. Everybody say one. No, there ain't no other place to be. Ain't no second place. Ain't no other place. You either one or you none. And then verse 22 says, and the glory which thou gave in me, I have. The glory which thou gave me, I have given them. That they may be one, even as we are one. So we see the position that we're supposed to have with God, right? Huh? Yeah, we've got this distant, a strange relationship. It's almost like a strange relationship with a father. We've got this strange relationship, and the best way I can say is the story of the prodigal son. He come back and said, "Well, I'll come back and I can serve him, and I can be one of his servants because I was away and but I'll be a servant." You know, the prodigal son is the whole story from Genesis up until Jesus. Yeah, give me my inheritance. I want to eat from that tree of knowledge of good and evil, so I'll be like God. I'm trying to take it instead of receiving it. See the problem? Humility there. I'm trying to take it. That's the whole story. We gonna run it back. I serve the Lord till the day I die. I'm gonna serve the Lord till the day I die. So he said, the servant don't know what the master doing. He's not call you no more servant, but I call you friends. I'm upgrading you. I'm taking you to a higher place. I'm showing that you need to come up here and come sit at this table so I can talk to you face to face. So I can tell you who you are. I hear a lot of times we say we want to be in the presence of God and I want to be in your glory, God. And then I pray till I get in his presence. When you get there, what he's saying to you? What he told you? I'll tell you what he's telling you. Sometimes you don't recognize it. The first time I get the presence of God, I lay before the Lord and the presence of the Lord. And he say, then when I finally look up, he start talking to me. He start showing me what I look like. He said, it's you right here. He said, there you go. This me and you and you and me. This is what that looks like in the earth. Now get up and take that where you're going. He's going to show you. That's the conversation that God has. God is not, he is not egotistical. He is not caught up on himself to where he just wants to be out here and y'all look at me, I'm a big God. That's how we do. We do stuff like that. That's why we be wanting titles and all kind of stuff because we want everybody to honor us. No. That's the type of stuff we do. Man don't think like God. Y'all know that. God don't think like it's different, right? God is not a bit egotistical saying, oh, look at me. I am all. No, he's like, yo, I've created you just like me in my image and my likeness. And I would really like if you would recognize it. I would really appreciate it if you recognize what I've done for you. Don't make me go down this road, Lord. Okay, I will. I need you to recognize what I've done for you and who I've made you to be. And you can live your whole life, and if you don't recognize it, depart from me, I never knew you. I need you to recognize that I breathed myself into you and I never inhaled you back. I never took the breath back from you. The only thing changed was your mind became unaligned to mine. I never changed my mind. From the Lord, I changed not. Jesus Christ is saying yesterday, today, and forever. My mind didn't change. The only minds that flutter are ours. I need you to understand what I did for you. For years, I read John 3:16. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And I said, man, that's a great quote. Then I realized that was Jesus saying it himself. John 3:16, the one that we, oh, light bulb. Yeah, Jesus said that. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And whosoever believed in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Not in heaven, but now in this time. Whosoever believes in him, believe the Son. Now we say we believe Jesus. We do. We don't know. We don't be paying attention to a lot of things that he says. And we skip over the ones that are a little difficult for us. And we skip over the ones that challenge a little bit. Any man come after me, let him deny himself, take up the cross and follow me. If you find your life, you're going to lose it. Lose your life for my sake. You'll find it. I'll leave all this stuff. Put all this stuff on the side. It's hard. And so we skip over those. But Jesus is our Savior. He can't save you if you ain't ready to die. There is no resurrection without a crucifixion. There is no life without a death. I sent my only son to show you who you are And then to put his money where his mouth is by actually physically dying. I need you to understand what I've done to you. I need you to understand who you are. The conversation is always lost when it comes down to identity. We can do actions. We can do duties. We've learned duties. And that for our whole, I wrote this down, for our entire, we spent our entire Christian lives identifying God, saying who he is. Saying that we know him and saying that we are trying to know him better. But there's a problem with knowing God. God talked to me the other day. He said, I was laying inside the bed. He said, you got to catch what I'm saying. I'm sitting in the middle of the night. Jump up. You know, you wake up real quick like that. And I'm sitting there. And I really want to go back to sleep, but I'm just sitting there and I'm listening. He said, what if I told you you're severely off? I said, what? God. You start quoting your resume. And you start saying, well, God, I'll be praying like that. And I'll be this right here. And I got this and all this and all that. He said, no, but what if I told you that? He said, what would you think? I said, well, I mean, you're God. So if you said it, it got to be the truth, right? And he says, listen, it's not so much that you go straight to your morals and what you've done good and what you ain't done wrong. Da, da, da. He said, no. He said, even on your best day, you still off from who I am. He said, your best prayer, your best prophecy, your best tongue, your best anointing, your best presence of God, all that, you still ain't nowhere close to who I am. Listen to what I'm saying. He said, when you've acknowledged your shortcoming in your own thinking, he said, that's when you become one with me. When you've acknowledged that it's not your works, or it's not what you're doing, or it's not who you think you are from the outside, but I acknowledge in submission. Come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon and learn to find. I'm meek and lowly in heart. You'll find rest for your soul, for my yoke is easy. My burden is like the thing that we must learn is the acknowledgement. Say this real quick. I acknowledge that God can't fail. And so I acknowledge that I can't fail. I acknowledge that I'm one with God. This is a ultimate yielding. This is a, you know, those thoughts, and start saying you're one with God. And start saying your son of God will make you equal with God. You scratch a little bit. Tell the truth, right? Scratch a little bit, right? I don't know if I can. That's ego. I know you think you're being him. That's ego. That's the enemy's way of thinking. The reason that Adam and Eve ate on the tree, they didn't think they was one with God. What did they say? He said, the serpent said, because he just know if you eat from that tree, you'd be just like God. Wait, what were you from the breathing? What is this? What is in 126? He said, I made you in my image and my likeness. I already named you. I've already identified you. I didn't make you nothing else but like me. You see, you want to be so deep that you're not receiving who he's saying you are. That little scratch is ego. I know you never categorize it as that, but that's what it is. It's anyway, it's a trick. I don't want to say that. If it didn't say it in here, I wouldn't even be telling you this. I ain't got the nerve to come up here and tell you one with God if the Bible don't say it. I learned, my father taught me how to cut the scripture and divide it. I wouldn't say it, but we just, this your Bible, right? This is your holy scripture. You say you believe this, don't you? Hold on now. Don't change it. Don't talk low on me now. Everybody at home, you say you believe the holy written word of God. It tells you this. But we spend our entire lives talking about we know God. When we knowing about God, or we know a whole bunch of other stuff. And I found out, you know the scripture says a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways? I found out what that is. There's the mind of God, which is who you are, and there's this other mind that you just be in. There's the mind of God, which is who you are, and then this other mind to where you ever ask yourself where you got that thought from? Like whatever you're scared of, wow, where did that come from? Who told you you wasn't one with God? And God said, who told you was naked? And naked wasn't even in the Bible. Before Adam said it wasn't even a thing. Mankind created naked. and then breathed into it and gave it life. Listen to what I'm trying to tell you. It wasn't even a real thing. But once Adam says it, that word becomes flesh. Do y'all understand what's going on? He's created something that wasn't even there. And God said, well, who told you was naked? Who told you all this stuff about what you think about yourself? When you are in fear, so I found out these bands. I put these bands on, right? This ain't no plug, but it's a plug. These bands. I put these bands, I thought these bands, you know, I look at them and it's an encouragement. It encourages me that God can't fail. And it encourages me that you know, just no matter what I'm going through, the song said, no matter what you're going through, right? And it encouraged me. Then I realized, he said, no. He said, this band is to remind you to align your mind to mine. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You walking around throughout your day, and something come up, and you get in the fear, get in the worry, get in the anger, get in the confusion, whatever it is, align my mind. Let me, God can't fail. That means I can't fail. What are we talking about? So where can fear or worry or confusion exist in the mind of God? In God's mind, in the way that God thinks, in the way that God functions, where can that exist? It cannot. So I begin, it becomes a simple, not just the band, but the statement. Say, God can't fail. Come on, say it again. Say, God can't fail. Come on, one more time. Say, God can't fail. Now, we have to stop saying this as this outward, waiting for somebody to come across the hill to do something. We have to, it is God which working in you. Yeah, you know this way you do the work at. No, you do the work in you. The work, any work, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Any work that gets done in the outside of you is going to be done through the inside of you. Yeah. Now, that's an indictment, because anything that you don't like came from inside of you too. We got to realize that, and we got to acknowledge it. You see me? But now God was working in you. Jesus starts talking about it. He says, listen, and this the acknowledgement he does. This is how Jesus acknowledges, and this is how he realizes he's one with God. He doesn't realize he's one with God by all of his good works. He doesn't realize he's one with God by all of his great accomplishment, because he doesn't even, he's just go over there. Don't tell nobody. You got to understand Jesus' character. He doesn't realize he's one with God by just saying, hey, bop, 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 bop. He already opened up the sky and said, I'm the Son of God. No, he didn't do that. He said, listen, as I hear, I judge. And my judgment is just, because I'm only doing the will of the Father. He says, the Father that doeth the work. Why you call me rich and ruler? Why you call me good? Ain't nothing good but one. Ain't nothing good but. He said, and it wasn't. He said, ain't nothing good but one. And that's God. Whew. That means ain't nothing good outside of your oneness with him. You will find no good outside of that. Everything that is opposite of what God wants to be, everything that's a trouble to you, a problem to you, anything that's stealing from you, all that's on the outside. All that's outside of one. And anytime that you forget that you're one with God, anytime that you realize that God's character is who you are, your reliance is totally on him. Anytime you forget this, that's when you can be stolen from. That's when you can be confused. That's when you can worry. That's where all lack exists, all evil exists, all sickness and disease. All of those things exist outside of one with God. It tells me, I'm looking at this band, it's telling me a lie. It tells me, let me write it down, I'm going to read it like I wrote it. This word reminds my mind to align and stay aligned. Say, God can't fail. Now, remember, now, don't sit up here living this separate life. It couldn't have been, the word couldn't have been at first, I can't fail. They got people out there trying to say, you know, you're a conqueror. I can't fail. You know, you can do everything, right? It's positive thinking. Failing all day long. Because it has to be connected to something greater than you. Has to be founded in something that really can't fail. Yeah. Right? I done learned, it couldn't have been, I can't fail. Put on a band, I can't fail. Yeah, I done felt good for a little while. Right? But the first day that failure come, now I'm going to start talking to myself. Well, you know, you fell forward. You know, you start coming up and say, well, you know, all that sin and falling short of the glory of God. And we start making all these excuses for our failures. Yeah. So it had to come the other way first. Had to come from the Alpha. Had to come from the Alpha and the Omega. Had to come from the start and the finish. They had to come in there and say, now, God, can't fail. Now, when you're saying this, now you have to realize that you are in God. Yeah. Say, I am in God. Come on, say, I acknowledge that I am in God. Say, I acknowledge that God is in me. When I acknowledge these things, it becomes, God can't fail. So I can't fail. And I remind my mind. See, the only thing about you that can be unaligned is your soul, is your thought process, right? It's the only thing that can be, God has created us in his image already. He birthed us here, so he's got a reason for us to be here. But our thinking is your thinking is where your choices and your will is. Are y'all hearing me? And whatever you receive in, whatever you allow your mind to receive and you begin to believe, that's what you start conforming to. Or that's what you become one with. And so the only thing that we have to snap back in place is our mind, our thought process. It's the only thing we have to slap back in line is, hey, oh, no, nope, 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 I can't fail. Why? I can't fail because God can't fail. On my own, I'm a failure. On my own, in my thinking, in my own thinking, whatever I got them from, whoever told me I was, whatever piece of paper that told me I was somebody, whatever degree I got that told me I was somebody, whatever I finished, the class I finished, and my last name, all this stuff, that tells me I'm somebody, you know, all those things can fail. But not God. God can't fail. And if I'm with the men, it is impossible. But not with, for with God, that's all. Everybody say all? All is absolute. What's outside of all? What does all not include? Whew. So that means I'm getting rid of our excuses for failure. Yeah. Y'all understanding me? I'm getting rid of these, because we get these excuses for failure and then we begin to live by them. We begin to build our houses on them. We begin to live our lives on it. So I'm like, oh, we make mistakes. No, I ain't trying to hear all that right now. I can't fail because God can't fail. And I have to change, I have to retool my understanding, retool my mind, retool my situation. Matter of fact, a lot of us listening right now don't need to be watching nothing else or be doing nothing else until we start taking the word of God, the apostle preaching, and taking the good word of God that we're hearing, and it's over and over and over and over and over and over until we repent. Yeah. We return. Mark chapter 7. Where's this? Mark chapter 7. Mark chapter 7, and Jesus is talking to Peter. I hit the word fail. I look at this scripture, and it's verse 20, verse 15. It starts at verse 15. No, it's not 15. Let me see something. I think I wrote down the wrong thing. I'm going to find it right now. Luke 22. I had written down the wrong thing in that wrong space. Luke chapter 22, verse 31. And the Lord says, Simon, Simon, call his name twice, trying to get his attention, right? Lord, Simon, Simon. Anytime you hear the Lord call your name twice, he's really trying to get your attention. Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, talking about God can't fail, right? I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. I hit the word fail, right? I got this strong dictionary I hit. Then I hit the word fail. And the word fail means out from or away from. It means out from, away from, separated from. Let me hit it right quick too. So I can read all the definitions of it. It means to leave out, to omit, to pass by, to leave, to quit. It derives from the out from, to come away from, to fall out of something. So hold on. First of all, now I'm talking about fail. God can't fail. That means God can't come out of who he is. Y'all really want to know what God can't fail mean? Y'all really want to know what it mean right now? God can't come out of you. He can't be apart from you. Oh, God can't fail. Say, God can't fail. Yeah, he can't come out from you. Nothing can separate me from the love of God. We know love, God is love. Love is God. Love is an identity. So nothing can separate me from the identity of God. Everything say out from, away from. That means God is never away from you. God can't fail. Say it, God can't fail. Now when I hear that, see how the thing opened up, right? So now when I'm saying it, we're loaded. Now God can't fail. God can't come out of me. He's never away from me. He's never omitted from me, and he never omits me. Never puts me on the side because he's on the inside. See, the trick is the separation. The trick of when you feel destitute, that's why I got to change a lot of these songs. A lot of these songs have him somewhere else and not here. I don't mind God. I know God is everywhere, but he's here too. He's inside of me too. And this is the one thing that's missing. Gravity, y'all, gravity, right? Gravity's on your railroad here. Your house still sitting in the same spot right now. God has got all that under control. All the stuff outside of you, we know that's God. Even your breathing right now. The air comes from God. Like, we know he got that under control. Cool. But the only place that we've been missing it is on the inside of us. We place him everywhere but on the inside. But God can't fail. God cannot be outside of me. He can't come out from me. You can cast a demon out, but you can't cast God out. Woo! You can cast, but you can't cast, because the Spirit of God is the fabric of who you are. You cannot separate from God. Your mind could think you are. Your mind could put you in a place where you be acting, because as I think, therefore I am, and you be acting like you separate. But it's God. It's in you. The word fail, watch this. He's out from, away from. To omit, to leave behind, to forsake, to leave behind, to be inferior. God can't fail, so I can't fail. God can't be inferior, so I can't be inferior. We were just talking about that with Race last week with Apostle. If God is not inferior, I can't be inferior. If God can't be put in a box, say it. I can't be put in a box. Whatever God is, I am. What he says, I am. I am. I am. Whatever he is, I am. Who he is, I am. This is my identity, and nothing can take that away. And when I do get afraid, it's not about faith is that doubt doesn't come. No, doubt does come. You really don't know you can fight till you got to fight, though, right? Right? Like, I really don't know I know who I am till something comes to try to tell me that I'm not. You get it? Soon as God opens up the sky and identifies Jesus, here's my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. The next thing he does, the Spirit of God drives him into the wilderness to be tested. So it's not about the test. It's about you knowing who you are in the test. It's not that the fear won't come, but we have to understand that perfect love. What's love? Love is God. God is an identity. Love is an identity. Perfect God in me casts out all fear. When I understand, you hear me? So fear will come. Worry will come. Doubt will come. All these things will come. It's not the fact that if they come. Are y'all giving? We just can't let it get in. Come to the door, but keep the door locked. Talk to it through the little cupboard. Who is it? Who is it? Oh, no, I don't have an appointment with you today. Oh, no, you can't come in here. Oh, no, you don't live here. Fear, anxiety, worry, all that stress, all that. They come to your house, act like they're visiting, and then try to move in. They done fixed the room. I told somebody the other day, trauma. I got to deal with trauma. Stop making deals with trauma. Making a deal. Hey, you know how you make a deal with somebody, right? Well, how you make a deal with somebody? Well, I'm gonna do this and you do that. So if you, you know, you can stay over here and I'm, no, ain't no deals. Eviction. Yeah. You showed up over here. I'm going to say it again. I thank God for this. You showed up over here. You showed up unannounced. I didn't invite you to my house. You showed up unannounced, came in. I don't know why I opened the doggone door, but here we are and you in here. So let's have this conversation. I didn't open the door and you came. I heard a girl talking the other day. She said her mama came to visit her one year. She'd been there for 2 years. She said, family came visit. Just come to visit. And now she's been there for 2 years. She said, the first thing I do if I got some money is buy my mama a house. Come to visit. Come up here unannounced. I don't know how you got you. You was dressed, though. You was dressed a certain way. You was dressed a certain way, so I couldn't see you for what you were. You could really see what somebody looked like when you're at the house with them. Can I get an amen? You know, we put these suits on and we get all done up for the public appearance. But you really see what they're looking like when you're at the crib. You moved in. Now you done got comfortable. Now you done took all your makeup off. Now you done took your hair off. Now you took everything off. I'm like, hold on. What is going on here? I didn't invite you here. You still here? You got a room. You going to your room. What you mean you going to your room? You don't even have a room here. And we allow these outside things to start taking domain on the inside of us. And we allow these outside understandings and fears and worries and everything to start having a room in our home. This is my room. Yeah, just send it to my room. You don't have a room. Eviction. It's time for you to go. How do you say, well, I'm a victim in the name of Jesus. Get out of my house in the name of Jesus. You ever done that before? You ever pray real hard for something and say the name of Jesus real loud with a growl, in the name of Jesus, and it didn't move? Let's keep it 100. Come on, keep it 100 right now. Everybody type in the chat, keep it 100. Keep it 100, you did a little red 100. Keep it 100 right now. You know you didn't prayed real strong and cried and sweaty and nothing moved. Amen. Hey, somebody in here say amen. Y'all go ahead and say amen. What a disconnect. Don't try to, look, God don't need you to save your face for him. He know your face already. And he know his. You've been living over there and you'd be trying to evict them with your loud voices and your loud prayers. Mm-mm. But John 15:7 says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you ask what you will, huh? And it shall be done. If you abide in me and my words abide, living, you live in me and I live in you. Let me allow me to live there. I've been there, but you ain't let me live in here. It's almost like you got your fears and your worries and anxiety in the house. They done moved in unannounced. We don't know who put them in there. Your auntie, mom and them, somebody told me something when I was younger. Something happened to me. Somebody abused me. All these, and it snuck into my house. It snuck into my mentality and started living here. Now, Jesus is living here too. But we got Jesus locked off in the room and won't give him authority to whoop nobody out the temple. Give Jesus permission to whoop all of that out of your temple. Let the man loose. Stop telling Jesus to be polite. Jesus, will you calm down? Let me just talk to him. You stop. That's the problem right now. Y'all been having too many conversations with these issues. Dealing with fear and dealing with trauma and dealing with worry. They ain't no deal. We are not friends. Hold on. Not only not friends, we not related. Why are you staying here eating up all my food? Every time I go in the kitchen, you in the kitchen. Every time I go in the refrigerator, you in the refrigerator. What is going on? Get out of my house. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. We've been trying to cast these things out by not realizing that we living in Christ and Christ is living in us. The house has already been occupied. Are y'all hearing me? The house has already been occupied. He said, you got to be mindful. He said, you cast out a demon, the house swept clean. He said, but if you don't fill it up with something, if it ain't full, they're going to come back seven times more, way more than what it was before. We've got to understand that there's something on the inside. Christ lives, well, on the inside of me. Say it, Christ lives on the inside of me. My house is already occupied. There is nobody else. There is no other identity. There is nothing else that can live in here because Christ lives in me. And if Christ lives in me, God can't fail. I can't fail. I'm one with the Father. I acknowledge I'm one with the Father. I acknowledge this It's who I understand that my birth certificate says Donovan Montrell Thompson, born at 111 on 6/27/82. I understand what that birth certificate says. I understand the Social Security card spelled Donovan different than my birth certificate. Ain't that crazy? I understand it says Donovan Montrell Thompson on that Social Security card that this government gave me. I understand all the paperwork and all that stuff, but I am Christ, and Christ is me, and I'm one with God, and God is one with me. And I do not limit myself to my blood type or my skin color or where I come from or who somebody told me that I was or somebody told me that I failed you. Stop worrying about all them F's you made in school. So what? Are you failing at a flawed system? The system flawed. How you gonna call yourself a failure with a flawed system? The system is all, but you gonna call yourself a failure based off a failing system. Change your mind. Change your mind. Change my mind. Listen to this. Verse 32, I pray for thee that thy faith fail not. I'm almost done. I'm about to close right here. I pray for thee that thy faith fail not. Watch this. Jesus saying, I have requested for thee. I got another message. I'm talking about prayer. When you're praying, you're really trapping the power of God. You're really making a demand. You're encompassing it on the inside of your prayers, right? He said, I prayed for you, right? That your faith fail not. That means your faith don't go out of you. You don't be separated from your faith. And he says this. He say, and when. He don't say, and if. You know, sometimes you say, if. He say, if right there. He said, I prayed for you. That your faith fail not. So when? I mean, it's happening. When you realize it, that's when. When you realize it, that's when. No. Well, I got to work. I got to go to the journey to Mecca. And I got to go. No. I got 10 more years to get done before I really. No. When you realize it, that's when. When you realize your oneness, that's when. It says, and when thou or you are converted, strengthen thy brother. I hit the word convert. And I said, I thought convert mean to change. I thought we was moving one place. He said, convert really means to revert. That means you, hold up, when you revert back to something, right? For me to be converted means I'm reverting back to who I originally was. I pray for you that your faith fails not. It don't leave out of you. God don't leave out of you. God don't leave from you. Fear cannot stay there. I pray that your faith does not disconnect from who you are. And when you're converted, when you revert back to who you are, then strengthen your brethren. How do I strengthen my brethren? The same way I got strengthened. I pray for you that your faith fail not. I'm telling you who you are. When you revert back to your original form, revert back to who you originally were with God, somewhere between the tree of knowledge of good and evil and Jesus, everything got lost. And I, for the life of me, I don't understand that why after Jesus comes and after he says everything that he says, we still live as if we are lost in this world. No, it is finished. It is finished. It's done. And when you are converted, we're talking about converting. We're going to read them in the, but we're going to read the salvation, right? We call it conversions, right? Yeah, the conversion should be that you revert back. They need to understand that we are reverted back to who we originally were. I am only, I'm praying for you. The prayer that we're about to pray, I'm praying that your faith fell not. When I'm praying with you, I'm praying you back until you understand who you originally were. And I don't care. I don't remember being. Are you sure? It's you. Ain't nobody alive that ain't got God in them. It's you. So now I'm praying you so that you be converted, or that you convert and you revert back to your original form with the Father before you got to all the mess that you thought made you dirty. All these things that may have transpired or happened that made you identify yourself with it and kept on telling you, you this and you that and you that and you that and you that. No. He is when Christ is a new creature. You reverted back to your oneness with the Father. Yeah. Right? And the Father God, he can't fail. And if God can't fail, I can't fail. And I remind myself and I align myself and I align my mind to this truth. And there is no other truth. Ain't your truth, my truth, they truth. Ain't no they truth. It's the truth. And only that truth makes you free. Free from what? Free from your crazy ideas about yourself. Amen. Amen. Amen.